This may be the case in many of the problems that you're facing in your own lives, in your families, and in your organizations. Hopefully, you're becoming provoked in your thinking to examine your paradigms. The flaw is not in the attitude. It is not in the behavior. It is the fundamental underlying paradigm. I suggest the same exact problem exists in the field of management today. It is operating on an obsolete paradigm, one that isn't necessarily totally wrong, but it is incomplete. It is partial. Einstein rewrote the rules of physics, yet Newtonian physics, a clockwork paradigm, could put us on the moon but couldn't explain the basic atom of the universe. It wasn't that it was wrong, but that it was partial. It was incomplete. One Japanese industrialist put it this way: "We are going to win, and the industrial West is going to lose, and there is nothing they can do about it. Because the seeds of their failure lie in the way they think. They think that it is in the nature of things that the people at the top do all the important thinking, and the rest wield the screwdrivers. Our concept is that leadership is the art of mobilizing and energizing the intellectual and creative resources of all people at all levels of the organization." Now, what is he basically saying? He's talking about a paradigm shift, a different way of thinking about organizations, about leadership, about management. How do you know you're dealing with a bad paradigm? Simply, see if you have confusion. See if your present way of thinking solves your present problems. See if you're buried by dilemmas. Dilemmas means you want two things and you're torn. You don't know which way to go. If you get one thing, you lose the other. And yet you want them both. That's a dilemma. That's one of the evidences of a bad paradigm or an incomplete paradigm. And out of this confusion, out of this dilemma, is real pain. And if you get up against, say, world-class competition in the business field, and you see such superior competition that produces quality and speed to market and other tremendous competitive advantages, and you realize you are so far behind that working harder, working smarter with the old paradigm, thinking more positively will correct it, that's a good evidence. You probably are working out of an incomplete, a partial, or perhaps even an erroneous paradigm. I'll briefly mention 10 dilemmas that are common today. These are dilemmas that I have found to be so common and so generic over a couple of decades of working with organizations that I think almost everyone who deals with organizations will relate to them. 1, how do we achieve and maintain a wise and renewing balance between work and family and between professional and personal areas of life in the middle of constant pressures and crises? Now see if that is not a real dilemma. In other words, you're always waiting for tomorrow when the pressures and the crises have been removed. They never are. How do you yet maintain balance and peace of mind in the middle of all that? And how do you create it so that's part of the culture of the organization? 2, how do we unleash the creativity, talent, and energy of the vast majority of the workforce whose jobs neither require or even allow such use? I frequently ask people in your organizations, answer this question. Does the vast majority of the workforce possess more capacity, talent, energy, creativity than their jobs allow or require them to use? They always raise their hand. Almost everybody. Well, doesn't that tell us something? Is it possible we're operating on an incomplete or obsolete paradigm of management and leadership? 3, how do we create team spirit and harmony among people and departments that have been attacking and criticizing each other for years while playing political games and working from hidden agendas? In other words, how do you have peace in a culture and harmony when you have such baggage, such history of contention and adversarialism, interpersonal and interdepartmental rivalries? 4. How can we realize that the choice between hardball, that is, tough management that tries to force a better bottom line, and softball, you could call that kind management that hopes for a better bottom line, or a bottom line at all, is transcended by a third alternative that is both tougher and kinder? A lot of people have written off this so-called soft, subjective, touchy-feely stuff because it isn't really macho, it isn't strong, it isn't visionary. So they go for the tough, strong approach, the authoritarian approach. But then that has so many other things in its wake that eventually that causes other kinds of problems. And people vacillate back and forth, and the pendulum swings and knocks out plaster on this side of the wall, then plaster on this side of the wall. There's another alternative coming out of a totally different paradigm that transcends either of those approaches. They're both foundationally wrong. 5. How can we have a culture characterized by change, flexibility, and continuous improvement and still maintain a sense of stability and security? See, a lot of people get their sense of security from the fact that they can predict what their life's going to be about. All of a sudden, you start to change that. It makes them feel insecure. How can you achieve security in the middle of change? Not only live with it, but thrive on it, run with it, optimize it. How do you create that? 6. How do we get people and culture aligned with strategy so that everyone in an organization is as committed to the strategy as those who formulated it? I mean, how common it is to see only a few people really committed to the strategy. What if you could create the sense of ownership by everyone in that organization? Social, psychological, perhaps even financial ownership, so that there is this deep sense, I am committed to what we are about. I've even known consulting firms that are expert in the field of strategy, developing feasibility studies and market research studies in order to produce good strategies, and know full well that the culture in the organization will not implement it. But essentially, that's no longer their responsibility. 7. How can all people at all levels of an organization internalize the principles of total quality and continuous improvement when they are so cynical, fatigued, and disillusioned with all of the past programs of the month? So many people have been beat up by short-term psych-up approaches, by quick-fix approaches, by the new buzzwords, to where they're so fatigued and disillusioned. How do you create this kind of commitment to the most significant movement in this country today, and that is the quality movement? And we must focus on that movement in order to maintain our competitive viability in the global marketplace. The whole world is different. How do you do that when people are so beat up and fatigued and cynical? 8. How can we create a complementary team based on mutual respect when so few value diversity and pluralism? You know what prejudice is? Prejudgment. Why do we use prejudices? It protects us. It protects us from being vulnerable, from being hurt. I don't have to deal with you any longer. I just know that you belong to a certain class, a social economic class, or a certain gender, or a certain race, or a certain nationality, or a certain religion, or I have some social and psychological tests that I give you so that I can categorize you in some quadrant. Then I can better treat you as a thing, with kindness, but I know what's best for you. And then I will paternalistically and condescendingly, in kind ways, manipulate you about.